First Samuel chapter 7, please. First Samuel chapter 7. That's where we're studying. Repentance is not like the person who sent the check of $150 to IRS. And he also included the note. He said, if I cannot still sleep, I'll send you the rest. Did you get that? Repentance requires more than just trying to cover up a certain area. When we feel sorry for doing wrong or the getting caught, it may be the nothing more than a spiritual band-aid, and it's nothing more than remorse. But true repentance occurs deep within our heart and results in a visible difference in our action. Important word is a visible difference. You feel bad, but your action has not been changed. Your life has not been changed. Then that's not real repentance. For change, we find the Israelis repenting from their stupidity of idol worship and turning to God by the leadership of Samuel, the judge, now become prophet. All right, starting at the chapter 7, verse 1, we'll pray. Father, we are most grateful that you choose to save us and showed us our sin, how horrible they are, and showed us the way to everlasting life with the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. Father, we are asking you tonight, you speak to our heart through the Holy Spirit, that we may not hold anything back and always following you with all of our heart and mind and soul. And when we sin against you along the way, remind us the repentance, now remorse, from deep within our heart, and let our lives reflect the change you make in our heart and our life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, please. Then the man of Kiriath Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord. Remember that the people asked them to take this away because they looked inside and they got punished by the Lord. Then 70 people died. So they asked the people from the Kiriath Jearim to come and take the ark. Anyway, continuing verse 1, brought it to the house of Abinadab. What a name, Abinadab. Don't name your grandkids with that name. On the hills, and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim for a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your heart for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of Philistines. Would you put the numbers with me in your Bible? Number one, if you return to the Lord with all your heart. That's number one. Number two, put away foreign gods and Ashtoreth from among you. Number three, prepare your heart for the Lord and serve him only. Number five, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistine. Did you get the numbers? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Oh, sorry. Okay, then number four. First one is you return to the Lord. Number two is put away. And number three is prepare your heart. I'm sorry, there is a number four. Serve him only. And number five, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Serve him only. Verse four. So the children of Israel put away Baal and Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured it, and note the underline, then drew water and poured it out before the Lord. Okay? Underline the whole phrase. And they fasted they and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. All right. Give me your interpretation, please. Yes. Get right with God. In what way? Okay. Good. Good. Huh? Good. Good. Aline? Good job. Did you notice the sequence that I asked you to put the numbers in? Number one is return to the Lord with all your heart. Number two step is put away any foreign gods, idols, whatever we have. And number three is prepare your heart for the Lord. Number four, serve Him only. And then number five is not something we do, something what the Lord does on our behalf. Okay, keep your finger. It's not on your sermon note. 2 Chronicles 7:14, please. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You there yet? It reads, if my people who are called by my name, and if, yeah, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Same sequence. Another thing, what the Lord says, we know it as the Lord's Prayer. We acknowledge God by thanking Him in our, remember, Lord's Prayer is not a spell that we just say it in a really jammed situation that we can get out, but it's a format, right? We're supposed to pray in that format. And the first portion, we acknowledge who He is, we thank Him, and then we ask for His forgiveness, then we make a petition. A lot of times, we scratch all in the front, and we just go straight to the petition. Because we live in microwave generation. You know, in a hurry, instant. But when we acknowledge who He is, all of a sudden, the problem we have becomes small. All right. Man of Kiriath-Jearim treated the Ark of Covenant with respect and honor. Yet, for 20 years, they did not take it to the tabernacle. I don't know why. For 20 years. They consecrated Eleazar, Abinadab's son, to keep the Ark of Covenant. We don't know whether Eleazar was the proper priestly lineage or not, and we don't know whether his consecration ceremony was properly done, but it was done, and they all reflect that they are trying to do right things. I don't know how right, we cannot judge that portion. Israel found that they know they are no more right with God just because they had the Ark of Covenant again. Instead, all the house of Israel lament after the Lord. And they had a good reason to lament. Their city, number one, their cities were in ruin, and their armies were defeated, and they were under Philistine domination, and all because they were not right with God previously. Some people say, well, my life is in horrible situation. And when you ask them, the things they do is not right. And you may say, does it mean that people, the only bad things happen to the people who are not following it? No, I didn't say that. Sometimes the Lord brings the terrible things to the good people as well. Good example, Job, right? But when there is a situation with that we call a disaster or terrible things, it's not a bad thing. Ask God, search me, O God, know my heart, if there is anything wicked in me. Coming from Psalm 139. And see if there is anything that is not done right. Like a hidden sins. If we are not right with God in our relationship, we do not have a peace in our heart. until we come to the Lord and make it right with Him through our repentance, no matter what we try, we experience turmoil and uneasiness deep inside. You know what that uneasiness is, right? Have you ever experienced that? Yeah. Holy Spirit tapping our conscience. Can I change the slide, Gary? In verse 3 and 4, Samuel was calling the nation to repentance. The repentance must start from the inside. We just read, with all your heart. And it must be manifest to outside. Put away the foreign gods and Ashtoreth. From inside to outside. The inside is more important than the outward, and it has to come first. That is why Samuel first called Israel to return to the Lord with all their heart and told them to put away the foreign gods. However, inside, repentance is... There is. No? No, not this one. Inside, repentance is a secret thing. When you repent, does it show on you? Does it show in your face? Does it have any writing on you? I have repented by action. Inside was proven with the outside. The outside appearance can be seen in our daily lives. The way we talk, the way we behave ourselves in the midst of difficult times. Most of all, our inside changes will ooze out to our daily lives if we are really changed. That is known as the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, I said this, majority of you know this. There is only one fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Huh? Love. And okay, go to Galatians 5:22, please. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is, it does not say fruits of the Spirit are, right? Fruit of the Spirit is love. And then, if I were the editor of the Bible, I would put the hyphen. The facet of the love are joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those eight things describe love. Am I making sense to you? So don't let somebody tell you fruits of the Spirit are in there, and that person lists the nine things. Correct. There you are, coming in. He had to close the shop. In verse 3, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, and Samuel demanded Israel to serve God only. Previously, Israel did not think that. They were rejecting God. Remember, when they came in, their ancestor came into the promised land. They were told to serve God only. Ten Commandments. You shall not have any other God before me, right? They were told many, many times. When they embraced the foreign gods, they were not rejecting. They were thinking, we are not rejecting Jehovah God. We are just adding other gods. Would that work? Why? Why not? More the better, isn't it? Come on, talk back to me. Why not? Okay. Tell me with the God's nature. Jealous God. God is jealous God. Ask your wife or your husband, ask him, would you like for me to have another person other than you? See how that goes well. Most likely you will be dead, and I'm not going to do a funeral service for you. And I will say, good, it's written that he's dead. Yes, spiritual adultery. Sometimes I wonder about the spiritual condition of Jim Manning. Aline has to be saint. She put up with him. Huh, Jim? Oprah Winfrey said this on the Hot TV show September 18, 1987. It's a transcribed. Jesus did not come to teach how divine he was, to teach us how divinity is within each of us. For Jesus to claim God would be pure egotism. There could not possibly only one way to God. Actually, there are many diverse paths leading to what you call God. Yeah. And Joel Osteen loves this woman. He invites her to his church. Yeah, I would invite her to our church as well, but she better sit down and shut up and listen. Anyway, this great theologian, Oprah, said there are many ways to get to God. She said we are also gods. Jesus said, what does he say in John 14:6? I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father through me, except through me, right? Without him, nothing exists because he is the one who created everything. So who should we believe? Oprah or Jesus? That's a rather obvious question. Folks, listen. God does not share his glory with anyone. God, by nature, he's a jealous God. Why? Because he's egoistic? Because he cares for us. If we have anyone else other than him, we will drive ourselves to destruction. That's why he tells us not to serve anyone else. He is simply declaring the truth that he is the only way. So, let me ask you this question. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. What is Baal? As Baal is supposedly the son of Philistine god Dagon, and he was depicted with a horned helmet. And in one hand he grabbed a club or mace, and the other shaft of lightning and a spear with the leaves. He believed that, and the people believed that Baal controlled the weather. Spear with leaves, talking about fertility. And what is Ashtoreth? It's a Canaanite goddess of the sexuality and war. The rites connected with her worship usually involve the sacred prostitution. Does this god sound familiar to you? It should. We still have him 21st century. By the way, these two gods, the Dagon gods and Baal and Ashtoreth, it was common for them to do the child sacrifice. Mother and father, sometimes they supposedly have a child so they can sacrifice their child to these gods. And they burn this statue, metal statue of this Dagon god or Baal on Ashtoreth. And there is a furnace underneath and make it so hot that the statue become bright red, and they put the child on the arms of these gods. We still have them, known as abortion. And you may say, we don't put them on the blaze. Yeah, we use the liquid to burn the babies inside mother's womb. The most dangerous place in America is not on the street. It's in the mother's womb. How many unborn children are dead in a year in the United States under the name of a woman's right? Now you understand why I'm hot under the collar when it comes to abortion. And worship nature worship by American Indian and New Age still existing. And about the sex and violence from the Hollywood and MTV. Take out the sex and violence from the movies and TV series. What do you have? Not a whole lot. In my opinion, those reality shows, not reality shows, they're pretty much a script. And the Survivors, Bachelor or Bachelorette, whichever they call it, and then Big Brothers, they are nothing more than Peeping Tom show. Do you know that? And they are worse than soap opera. I used to make fun of soap opera because they always... How often do you talk to somebody's back? Because they don't know how to memorize this script, so they have to read that somebody's holding the sign, and while the other person is talking to you on the back of your head. You know what I'm talking about? And probably they are the worst actors and actresses. I hope that you don't watch any of those things, because you cannot get anything out of them. In verse 5, Samuel told the Israelites to gather at Mizpah. Why Mizpah? This was the place where the Jacob separated from Laban, according to Genesis 31:49, and was a gathering place for the repentant Israel in Judges 21. And this was a place to remember for the separation and repentance. Now, I'm giving you all these verses. I expect you to go home and check them out, right? You do that, right? Yes? Okay. Don't trust me. Can I change the slide? This shows a spiritual need that Israel felt at that time. They did well to express their repentance, both in the desire to put away their false God and to pursue the true God. The experience of a conviction of sin proves nothing. Let me say one more time. The experience of a conviction of sin proves nothing. Our response to the conviction that demonstrates repentance. Feeling bad doesn't mean anything. Ceremonial pouring water. Remember I asked you to underline that portion? Ceremonial pouring water. In this context was a demonstration having one soul poured out before the Lord. It was an expression of emptiness and need. Some might say that our sins are not forgiven because we have not confessed. Bless you. You keep it up, your brain's gonna come out. If this were the case, if confessors of sin could only come where there is a forgiveness for sin only could come where there is a confession, then we are all doomed. Why? Because it would be impossible for us to confess every sin we have ever committed. There are times I have to ask the Lord, please forgive all of my sin whether I remember or not. We are forgiven because our punishment was put up on Jesus and His blood cleans us. Every single one of them. However, confession is still vital to maintain the relationship with God. And confession is vital if we offend somebody to make a right relationship with that person. And don't be like a Fonzie. Remember Fonzie? Yeah. And he has a one difficult time when it comes to saying, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Don't be like a Fonzie. If you did something wrong, ask God to forgive you and ask the other person to forgive you. Verse 7. Now when the Philistine heard that the children of Israel had gathered together Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistine went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord, our God, for us. He may save us from the hand of Philistines. Samuel took the suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistine drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder. I guess just one was enough, huh? Upon the Philistine that day, so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between the Mizpah and Shan and called it its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistine was subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistine all the days of Israel. Then cities which the Philistine had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistine. Also, there was a peace between Israel and Amorite. Stop there, please. All right. What is your interpretation for this? Okay, I want a little more. Hold on. I'm trying to push him a little more. That's the key. They didn't turn to the ark. They turned to God. Yes. Yeah. How often do we come to the God and say, okay, I really blew it. I need you to forgive. Yeah. Or fifth and seventh. We try just about everything else. Okay. All right. Give me more interpretation, please. They were invaded. Is there a blessing? Oh, no, I'm pushing Wayne. Come on. They were invaded. That's not a blessing, is it? Let me put it this way. I'm pushing you to say God was turning this disaster look like to blessing. So I want you to put the little word in front, disaster look like to blessing. Temptation without an opportunity. Temptation without an opportunity is nothing. Write it down somewhere, please. Temptation without an opportunity is nothing. Let me make a simpler example. Alcoholic behind bar. And he said, I overcame the alcoholism. Is that true? It can be, right? It can be, but he does not have access to alcohol. Am I correct? Until the alcohol is right in front of him so he can get his hands on the alcohol, that is not a temptation. So temptation without an opportunity is nothing. God is testing them. Okay, you trust me, all right? Then I will let you have the just a look-alike. Okay, Israel repented. Shouldn't they have an easy life from then on? What about us? After our confession to the Lord, what a mess we made, and shouldn't we have a wonderful life? We should, right? According to the health and wealth and prosperity preachers, Kenneth Copeland, we should have everything hunky-dory. We don't. In many cases, not only the consequences of our actions still follow, but also God allowed us to be tested, be in test period for us. Note that, for us to see if we really repented, if we really repent from our stupidity. That's not for God to see. God already knows how we are going to react. It's for us to see. In this case, Israel did very well. They came to Samuel and asked him to intervene. Philistines should have been afraid of Israel's repentance because they knew what this God of Israel could do. Last time when they had the Ark of Covenant, they could not sit, they could not lie down well because they had a hind problem. And, you know, that's the same thing with the Satan. Whenever we try to be right with God, Satan interject, right? When you try to pray, what happened? A thing always happens. Yep. When we try to read the Bible and have a meditation with God, what happened? Yep. The humble state of Israel's heart shown here by them by not feeling worthy to come to the Lord by themselves. Israelis no longer depend on the Ark of a Covenant as lucky charm, but they solely depending on the power of God through prayer. So why did Samuel take time for sacrifice at such a critical time? Because he knew he could only effectively pray in light of the God's anointing sacrifice. Think about this, guys. Can I change the slide? Yes? No? I guess. Okay. Think about this poor lamb, suckling lamb, that means infant lamb, who had never hurt anyone, who had never sinned itself, and its throat slit, and its blood poured out, its body cut up, and the carcass burned. Whole burnt offering, that means nothing left behind. Why? Because Samuel and Israel was saying, this is what we deserve, and this is the punishment that should come upon us. And they are saying, we thank you, God, for accepting the punishment of this innocent lamb instead. Let me put that thing into our terms. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Am I correct? And Jesus who took away the sin of the world, as it said in John 1:29, we are saying the same thing. We are the one who should be damned in hell, but Jesus took our sins so that we can stand in the presence of God with the boldness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God fought against the Philistine from heaven on behalf of Israel. And one thunder, the same thunder, the Philistine got into panic and they were confused. Same thunder they heard from by the Israelis. That's the thing. Same thing, same kinds of thing can come to, let me rephrase that. This book. To us, this life manual. To unbelievers, this become a judgment against them. Am I correct? It's also significant to understand that Baal was thought to be the god of weather. Remember? He had the shaft of the spear with the leaves and the other one with the mace or the club. He's on the weather channel. You've seen him? Huh? Always wrong. And verse 4 mentioned that the worship of Baal, and Israel put away the worship of Baal mentioned in verse 4. And then God said, I will show you who the truly God of thunder is. Remember the 10 plague that God brought to the Egyptians before Exodus? And every one of them is connected to the Egyptian God. This battle was won by the Lord, not by Israel. So Samuel named the stone Ebenezer, which means a stone of help. And God brought us and helped us this far. He is not going to drop us now. He didn't teach us how to swim in the river of life in this world so that we can be drowned. We can drown. I'm sorry. The Philippians 1:6, please. Philippians 1:6. Right before Colossians. 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When God's work is done, then we go home. Don't be afraid to go home. There's a better place. God gives the army of Israel great victory. What a day, right? Samuel accomplished defeating Philistine with one single prayer. Before the book of Judges, there's a book of 1 Samuel, there's a book of Judges. And one of the judges was Samson. He judged Israel for how long? 20 years, exactly. For 20 years, he had to fight against the Philistine over and over and over. Even though he fought with the strength of the Holy Spirit, it was pretty much a band-aid. When a man of God relied on God's strength, with one prayer, God defeated the entire army. Up to this point, Philistines were beating Israelis in every turn. But from this point, God took care of Philistine through the Israeli army. And after the Samuel, who was the next one, the leader? And you guys remember? King Saul, exactly. Throughout his reign, what did he do? The main thing. He fought against the Philistine. And once the King David got in reign, he crushed them. That's the end of Philistine. All right, verse 15, please. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. All right, can you give me the interpretation for this one? Actually, there's not much interpretation. Here come the judge. Speak up, brother. Good. All right. Yes. Yeah. I got saved when I was 31. I wish I was saved at his age. You're starting way ahead of most of us. God extend his grace to you, son. All right, Samuel was one of the five individuals who are in the Bible that does not show a whole lot of negative comments, with the exception of Jesus. Joseph, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel. Out of these five people, there's one person who has absolutely no negative comment. Do you know who that is? No, out of these five, geez, you don't listen, dude. Daniel. Not a one thing negative about him. Joseph, he was a cocky teenager. Samuel, he didn't trust God when God told him to go anoint the son of Jesse, David. He was scared. Isaiah was a fumbling. And Jeremiah was, yeah, he was a crybaby because he was moaning for the Israel. But Daniel, there's not a one thing that against him. I'm not saying he was a perfect guy. He just, that Bible does not speak anything bad about him. All right, give me application. Don't look at what I wrote. That's my application. I want you to give me your application. Anyone? I'm sorry? Good. Does it mean the consequences will be gone? Good. Yes, Roy? Yes. Let me put it this way. Before I say anything, let me ask you this. Is there anyone who think that having a revival is not good? Anyone don't want a revival in this country? Raise your hand. What do you mean start with the one person? With what? Yes. Never been a nation thing. Start with the one person. You end up catching the fire. No. Do you know that become a really bad word nowadays? Folks, repentance and revival start from individual's heart with true repentance. It's not something you go to the revival meeting by whooping and hollering preacher. It does not start there. It starts from quiet time with God and asking God to forgive our sins. I love the way Daniel prayed, Prophet Daniel prayed. He doesn't say, you know, those Israelis leaving himself out, was he a godly person? Yes, without a doubt. But he always put himself, like a Nehemiah, we have sinned against you. So when we start to pray, we have sinned against you in this country. We have sinned against you in this world. When we 20 people here. If we, all of us, start doing that daily and ask God to forgive our heart, forgive us, revival, this can be ground zero. I'm not talking about a big fancy church. Big fancy church has nothing to do with the revival. It's a matter of people's heart. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from them from heaven. Repentance and revival goes side by side. You cannot have a revival unless repentance is there. And if we have a true repentance, revival is a side product, end result. Am I making sense to you guys? So pray that God speak to you and you truly repent and I truly repent from our sins. I would love to see the deep place become a ground zero of the revival. We had a first and second spiritual awakening, and some people said the Jesus movement was a third awakening. Who knows? We just need a fourth awakening, spiritual awakening, before the Lord take us home. Wouldn't that be cool? There's no mention of America in the book of Revelation. So, I can come to the two conclusions. One, revival happened. And so many born-again Christians took off and America had no strength to stand its own legs. Or, America came to total destruction from within. Not many countries can invade America and survive. Trust me. This country has a firepower that no one can go against. But once it's corrupt inside, there's nothing. So I hope that is option A, right? Number one, when we turn to Christ, yield ourselves to Him, He produces real change in us, not just cover up. Remember, repentance is not just word, but an action. Application number two. Serve Him only. Serve Him only. Application number three. God won't give up on you. Good thing He doesn't. Alright? Alright. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Let our heart be right with You, starting from repentance, seek You, humble ourselves, and turn away from our sins. Help us to see our own sins the way You see them and despise them. We love You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.